I'm Karen Given. Next week on Only a Game, George Archer, the championship golfer who couldn't read. But now Charlie Pierce is here with the week's news. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Karen.
The Yankees spent 11 years trying to woo pitcher Gerrit Cole to New York. They finally got him with a 9-year, $324 million contract, making Cole the highest paid pitcher in Major League history. What do you make of that price tag?
Well, the first thing I know is the first time he has a bad game, he's going to love the back pages of the New York tabloids. Secondly, there's no way they're going to pay him the last 2 or 3 years of that contract.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole is not a young man. If they can get out of him what they've got of, say, CeCe Sabathia, they're very, very lucky.
Third baseman Anthony Rendon is headed to the Angels for 7 years, $245 million. And Steven Strasburg is staying with the Nationals also for 7 years, $245 million. Scott Boras is the agent for Cole, Rendon, and Strasburg. The combined value of those contracts is $814 million. Not a bad week for Boras, eh?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. What can I tell you? He's good at his job. Everybody knows that about Scott Boras. The Nationals thing is interesting, of course, because while Strasburg is probably their signature player, he was the first real star they drafted, and he's now played all the way through their World Championship. Rendon, of course, got a great late season and postseason, as did all the Nationals, and now he's getting paid. So good for him.
Remember last year when there were no signings of note during the winter meetings and this whole thing dragged on and on and on and people were using words like collusion? What happened?
I think they decided not to collude. There's no question in my mind that there was collusion going on last year. But I think it was so blatantly obvious that they decided to play it fairly straight this time around.
Under a new agreement with the union, MLB will begin testing for opioids and cocaine, but only players who don't comply with treatment plans will be disciplined, and marijuana will no longer be listed as a drug of abuse and instead treated the same as alcohol. Is it just me, or is this new policy shockingly reasonable?
It's incredibly reasonable. I did not know that they hadn't been testing for cocaine.
Right.
I mean, cocaine was the original drug frenzy in Major League Baseball, you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s. So, I mean, that was a surprise to me. I think treating marijuana like alcohol is eminently reasonable, of course. And I think, you know, allowing players to go to treatment and then conditioning their punishment on what they do after they get out is a remarkable spasm of good sense on the part of Major League Baseball.
Shocking. Marvin Miller, the union leader who brought free agency and arbitration to baseball, has finally been elected into the Hall of Fame. I know you have a let them all in policy when it comes to Halls of Fame, but how do you feel about Miller's upcoming induction?
That it's about 15 or 20 years too late. I mean, that the fact that he wasn't inducted while he was alive was an act of pure vengeance on the part of Major League Baseball and, unfortunately, too many people in my business. Marvin Miller is without question one of the two or three most influential people in the history of American sports, and probably one of the five or six greatest labor leaders in American history, period. So, yes, he should have been inducted while he was alive, although the odds are pretty good that he would have declined the invitation.
Well, as you say, before his death in 2012, Miller actually asked that his name be removed from consideration, calling the whole process a farce. So why now?
Well, because I think they can get away with it. And it was such a conspicuous omission that, you know, even Major League Baseball noticed.
This week, USA Today published a year-long investigation into how the NCAA deals with athletes charged with sexual misconduct. And the simple answer is it doesn't. There's no NCAA rule against committing sexual or violent crimes. This from the same organization that once ruled that you could give an athlete a bagel, but not cream cheese.
To be entirely fair to the NCAA, and you know how hard it is for me to say that.
I do.
It's really hard for it to be a law enforcement organization. It's not very good at it. It doesn't enforce its own rules very well, let alone the law. You know, right now, you're seeing rollbacks at the federal level of Title IX enforcement procedures against universities that ignore this problem. It's really up to the federal government and to the institutions to get their act back together and start taking this as seriously as it once did. If you're looking for a villain in this, don't look at the NCAA. Look at Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos.
And finally, Charlie, Fantasy Premier League has more than 7 million players worldwide. And as we speak, the man currently sitting in fourth place in that league is a man known to fans of another sport or game, depending on your definition. And that man would be?
That man would be Magnus Carlsen, a chess grandmaster. I think multidisciplinary athletes are a great thing. I'm really waiting for Carlsen's next move, which I predict, Karen, will be Garoppolo to Belichick's knight level 5.
You realize you're talking about the wrong kind of football, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, good. Charlie Pierce is the guest editor of the Best American Sports Writing 2019, and he joins us each week at this time here on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Karen.